What's up, everybody? This is Neil Rio, and this is Let's Please God, the ministry that helps you stay right with God and find victory over sin and over the devil and his evil tactics and lies and deceptions, and to keep you on the road to salvation. So today we're talking about dealing with an unbelieving spouse. As you know, I'm in a course in a series called Sex and Family, and we're talking about marriage and how to have a good marriage. And I talked about the main reasons why a marriage may fail. And one of those reasons that I'll be talking about today is an unbelieving spouse. Last time I talked about the lack of love and what you should do and what agape love looks like, how to have agape love. And then from there, if the love is not there, even though they claim to be a Christian and all that kind of stuff, or they're a follower of God or born again or whatever, then it's an indication that they're not. They're probably an unbeliever. So today I'm going to talk about unbelievers, what you're supposed to do if you're married to an unbeliever. Okay, a lot of people just want to leave their unbelieving spouse and I'm going to get remarried, I'm going to do this and that. But the scriptures give us clear guidelines on how to deal with an unbelieving spouse. And so that's what we're going to do today. First, let me read a passage to you. And this is found in 2 Corinthians 6:14-17. And I'm coming out of the New Living Translation. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through 17. It says, don't team up with those who are unbelievers. In other versions, it says, don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. And it goes on to say, how can righteousness be a partner with wickedness? How can light live with darkness? What harmony can there be between Christ and the devil? How can a believer be a partner with an unbeliever? And what union can there be between God's temples and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will live in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from among unbelievers and separate yourselves from them, says the Lord. Don't touch their filthy things and I will welcome you. All right, so we see here a clear command in scripture to not a fellowship with unbelievers. It says here, how can righteousness be a partner with wickedness? How can light live with darkness? How can, he says here in verse 15, what harmony can there be between Christ and the devil? How can a believer be a partner with an unbeliever? What happens when you realize that your spouse is an unbeliever then? You see, in scripture it says, don't partner with them. But scripture is a little different when it comes to somebody you've been married to. Because as we've seen before, and it's at the beginning of this series, that the two have become one flesh. When you get married, you join yourself to the other person, and now you're bound for life, as the scriptures say. And we'll show you those scriptures too. So what do you do with an unbeliever? Well, scriptures are clear. Let's start with the wives. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Still in the New Living Translation, it says, wives, in this way, you wives must accept the authority of your husbands. Then, even if some refuse to obey the good news, your godly lives will speak to them without any words. They will be won over by observing your pure and reverent lives. All right, I'm going to just stop there. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Told you what to do right there. You got an unbelieving husband who refuses to obey God, okay, or the good news, okay. He said, what did he say to do? He says you must accept the authority of your husbands. So don't say, well, since he don't follow my Jesus, I'm not following him. Okay, that's what a lot of ladies like to say now. Well, he don't follow Jesus, so I don't follow him. I'll follow him and get up under his authority if he followed Jesus. It don't say that here in scripture, though, do it. Accept the man's authority. Then, even if some refuse to obey God's the good news, your godly lives will speak to them without any words. They will be won over by observing your pure and reverent lives. So you got reverence for your husband, you got reverence for God. He ain't got nothing on your husband will look at you and say, man, she is a good woman. She treat me right. She's submissive. She follows me. And I ain't even been right to her. And that's going to convict them. Because you tied to him now. Your soul is tied to him. and he's tied to you. So that's going to transfer. If you really living for God, he's saying there's a great chance here that that can affect him and change his heart. Okay. But a lot of ladies, they just rebel. You say that I'm not following this man because he's not following my Christ. He don't love me. He this, he that, he this, he that. And I get the emails. And I tell y'all this. I've been sending y'all these same scriptures for years. This is the way you do it. The reason why he probably ain't a good man because you already non-submissive as it is. A lot of y'all ain't telling me the other side of the story, but I know it. You non-submissive wife. You loud. You disrespectful. You don't follow him. And then your excuse is he not a Christian. He don't follow Jesus, so I'm not following him. Well, this is why your man is out of pocket. You could potentially change him, being that you got a soul tie with him. You living with him. He's part of you. You're part of him. If you live for the Lord, that can transfer over to him. Not being a religious knucklehead like, you know, some people are. Like I said, people have a form of godliness. They have a religious outward appearance, but they really don't follow or have the power of God. That may be you, ladies. He can pick up on that. He can say, he know you phony. He know you go to church every Sunday and hooping and hollering with what the pastor say, but y'all really ain't living right. He know your life ain't no different than the women out in the world. He know that. What I'm gonna be nice to you for? You don't treat me right. But you complain to Brother Neil and other ministers online and say, hey, my husband don't treat me right. He's not loving. He's not a believer. Are you treating him right? We talked about the purpose of woman, and we're going to continue to do that. But ladies, you got to come in correct. He can't have anything on you. Ladies, you call yourself a woman of God. He can't have anything on you. He can't say, I can point to this in your life and say you ain't right with God. A sinner can't be able to do that to you. They just can't. If they can, then you off. That's why they ain't coming to Christ. He says here that they will be won by observing your pure and reverent lives. That's how you do it. You got a reverence for your husband. You got a reverence for God. That life is on point. He can't see nothing in your life that can say, man, I really, man. Ladies, y'all don't understand, and y'all missed this, of how to actually get your man to actually do right by you. It boils down to just being submissive and feminine and following his lead and not running your mouth and cutting him off and all this kind of stuff and accusing him of stuff he didn't do or being abusive to him, you know, emotionally. And all. You can't do this to a man and expect him to be right by you and do right by you. You can't. You don't understand how you can make a man just melt by treating him right, by treating him like a king. That man will start looking at Jesus like, man, this is how Jesus is doing me. You acting like this. Jesus got you acting like this to me. I need to see about your God. That's how you get your man to act right. By treating him right through Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit. You can't be coming up with this feminism stuff. You can't be this masculine, domineering, disrespectful, emasculating type of woman. A lot of women are today. Therefore, your husband is not going to treat you right. But if you act right, if you let the Holy Spirit work in you, ladies, to be a good wife, your husband, he'll melt. He'll love you. Okay? That's just the way, that's how it works. What the scriptures say. Okay? It continues on. Some more stuff for ladies here. It says in verse 3, don't be concerned about the outward beauty or fancy hairstyles, expensive jewelry, or beautiful clothes. You should clothe yourself instead with the beauty that comes from within, an unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is so precious to God. Gentle and quiet spirit. See, a lot of women today are very loud. They're very talkative. They have an opinion. They want to voice that. They think they're equal to men. They got something to say. This is what's causing the rifts in marriages. This is why your unbelieving husband can't get born again, because you are acting this way in some cases. Okay, I'm not putting all the blame on you, but I'm saying here, because as a man, he could just be just not choosing to be follower of God. And I'm just saying this, that some guys will never change. Okay, they just never coming to God because they don't want them. They've made their minds up. And so even though you can be a good wife to him, he still may not change. So that's what I'm putting out there. But doesn't mean you don't follow the book. You want to be right with God, despite how your husband treats you. You want to say to God, God, I did everything you told me to do. I was loving to him. I was submissive. I revered him. And I did everything. And same thing with men. You got to be the same thing with your wives. If you got an unbelieving wife, you got to be on record between you and God. I did everything right. Okay, I treated her right. I loved her right. So, but he's saying here, look, don't be so concerned about your outward beauty. It's not to say that you don't take care of yourself. Okay, because a lot of people take this scripture out of context and make it into some legalistic stuff where women can't wear makeup and they can't have braided hair and they can't look good. And that's not what he's saying. He's saying, don't be so focused on your outward. What's most important is your inward. Your soul and who you are as a person, how you treat people, especially your husband, is what's most important. If you got a woman that's extremely beautiful, but she's disrespectful to her husband, but there's a woman that's not as beautiful, but she is extremely respectful and humble and submissive to her husband, which one of those wives would you think that man would prefer? The one that's submissive, that's what's most important, okay? I'm not to say that you get rid of beauty, because beauty is important too to men, okay? But he's just saying, a little work on your inside, because a lot of women like to just say, well, look how beautiful. I you know, they focus on the easy things. I can focus on throwing some makeup on and making my hair nice and all that stuff. But if your attitude is dirt, if you're arrogant, you're proud, disrespectful, it doesn't matter. You see, it goes on to say, gentle and quiet spirit. Well, that's how women should be, but they're not today. And the gynocentric society has made women out to be very brash, to be very loud. They're not gentle. They're almost masculine. And it's totally unattractive. It goes on to say here that a gentle and quiet spirit, which is so precious to God. Verse 5, it says, this is how the holy women of old made themselves beautiful. And this is totally so true, man. A woman's inner self adds to her beauty on the outside. I've seen women who, because of their inner self, it made their outside even more attractive. And then I've seen women who are, as you can see, you can look at them and see, oh, she's attractive, but as soon as she opened her mouth, as you see how she treat people, it's like, ugh. So she's beautiful, but her insides are so ugly and dark that it just makes her look ugly and dark. You know? But he's saying to focus on the inwards. Make sure your insides are right. Okay? He said, this is how the holy women of old made themselves beautiful. They put their trust in God and accepted the authority of their husbands. Once again, he's going back to the authority of the husbands and trusting in God. Because women are not doing that. Why? You have that curse of Eve. We talked about that. Ladies, you got something in you that you don't want to follow men. I ain't following no man. I ain't doing what he say. I'm going to do my own thing. And so you got to fight against that. And the way you do that is walk in the Holy Spirit. He'll strengthen you. And you won't even be a person that's just always struggling with your inner self to go against your husband and to submit and all that kind of stuff. The Holy Spirit just keep you down. And then you'll have a lot more peace and you won't feel stressed because you got to fight against something that's in you. Because the Holy Spirit is strengthening you to just keep that thing at bay. All right. It goes on to say here, verse 6, for instance, Sarah obeyed her husband, Abraham, and called him her master. Other translates as Lord. It says, you are her daughters when you do what is right without fear of what your husbands might do. So this is the instructions for women. If you are married to an unbelieving husband, this is what you do. Okay, I encourage you to read and study 1 Peter 3, 1 through 6. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Continuing on here, instructions for the men if they got an unbelieving spouse, and for the women, because it talks about women again here in these passages. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 10 through 16, it says, but for those who are married, I have a command that comes not from me, but from the Lord. So listen up. A wife must not leave her husband, but if she does leave him, let her remain single or else be reconciled to him. And the husband must not leave his wife. So we got some rules here in place that's from the Lord. All right, so it continues on. It says, now I will speak to the rest of you, though I do not have a direct command from the Lord. If a fellow believer has a wife who is not a believer and she is willing to continue living with him, he must not leave her. Okay. So she want to leave. If so, you got a husband, man, you got a wife, right? And she's an unbeliever. She be acting up out every now and then or whatever. If she's willing to stay with you, don't divorce her. Don't leave her. Goes on to say in verse 13, and if a believing woman has a husband who is not a believer and he is willing to continue living with her, she must not leave him. Ladies, if you got a husband who's, you know, every now and then he's acting up, but he wants to stay with you, stay with him. Don't leave him. All right. For the believing wife brings holiness to her marriage, just like we talked about earlier. If she acting right 100%, that's going to translate to that man. And the believing husband brings holiness to his marriage. So as a believing husband, if you are acting right, you translate that to your wife, right? He says, otherwise your children would not be holy, but now they are holy. But if the husband or wife who isn't a believer insist on leaving, let them go. So husbands, you got a wife. She's insisting on leaving. She's an unbeliever. I don't want to be with you. I don't like this Jesus. I'm not really feeling what you, you know, your doctrine or whatever. I don't like that you want to be a man and lead the household or this, that, and the other, blah, blah, blah. I'm out of here. I want a divorce. Let her have a divorce. Fine. You're free to go. You ain't got to hold on to her. Is what the scriptures say. All right. And it goes on to say, in such cases, the believing husband or wife is no longer bound to the other, for God has called you to live in peace. So this is what I want to zero in on here. The key word here is peace. If you don't have peace in your house and that person is causing, let them go. You don't want that kind of drama in your home. If you have a husband who is not peaceful, leave the household. Okay, this means that you are being abused, either physically or emotionally. It's consistent. It's constantly happening, or it's consistently happening. Leave. All right. You're called to peace. But he goes on to say, don't you wives realize that your husbands might be saved because of you? And don't you husbands realize that your wives might be saved because of you? Let me say that again. Don't you wives realize that your husbands might be saved because of you? And don't you husbands realize that your wives might be saved because of you? Okay. So we got these unbelievers in the household. If there's no peace there and they want to leave, let them leave. Okay. Got a wife that's nutting up because she don't want to submit to God and really accept the Lord. She said, I don't want to be with you. Let her go. That's what the scriptures say. Let me continue on because we're still in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And let me just go down to verse 39 because it just shows you what's going to happen here. It says, a wife is bound to her husband as long as he lives. And if her husband dies, she is free to remarry, to marry anyone she wishes, but only if he loves the Lord. Or only in the Lord. Some others translate it that way. So we see something here that, okay, you can separate from your spouse because of the lack of peace, but you can't get remarried. Okay, so ladies, you can leave your no good husband, but you can't get remarried. You got to stay single. It says here, the wife is bound to her husband as long as he lives. Okay, you're still, because so if you get remarried, that's adultery. Okay, we talked about this already. You can go back to the sermon on adultery. What is adultery? And then you can go back to the sermon on divorce and remarriage. We broke the scripture down to show you. For women, if you're divorced by your husband, or if you divorce him yourself, you don't want to be with him, or he don't want to be with you, and he puts you away, you got to stay single or get reconciled back to that man. Let's go back to the beginning of 1 Corinthians. There we in verse 10, it says, But for those, this is 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10. But for those who are married, I have a command that comes not from me, but from the Lord. A wife must not leave her husband. But if she does leave him, let her remain single or else be reconciled to him. And the husband must not leave his wife. Okay? Why? Well, God wants y'all to stay together. That's why. He hates divorce. And if you get remarried, that's considered adultery. So he would rather you stay together. All right? But he gives you stipulations here. He says, now, if there's no peace, first of all, if they're willing to stay, stay. But if there's no peace, they want to go, let them go. But it doesn't say that, oh, you can go ahead and get a replacement. Now, we're going to see that for men, if your wife leaves you, you can get remarried. But for ladies, if you leave your husband or if your husband divorces you, you can't get remarried. Why? Because of what the woman is, what she was created for. The scripture said clearly here, a wife is bound to her husband as long as he lives. If the husband dies, she is free to remarry. Okay? Only in the Lord. Didn't say anything about a husband being bound to his wife. Right? So if the wife leaves, he needs a helpmate. So in this day and age when women are divorcing their men at record rates and just walking off, those men are free to remarry and it not be considered adultery. Because they need wives. Women were created to aid men, to help them. For a man not to be without a wife, that's not God's design. Therefore, men are free to remarry. However, if a man divorces a wife, dumps his wife, he cannot get remarried or it will be considered adultery. So you cannot put away your wife. You can do that. That's fine. God hates divorce. But to get remarried is considered adultery now at this point. And if you continue in that state, you're going to die and go straight to hell and be thrown into the lake of fire for all eternity. So that's the way it is. Let me go over some scriptures just so you can see it for yourself again. Mark chapter 10, verses 11 and 12, it says, he told them, whoever divorces his wife and marries someone else commits adultery against her. Whoever divorces his wife. So husbands, if you divorce your wife and marry someone else, you're committing adultery against her. All right. This is Mark chapter 10, verse 11. Here's verse 12. It says, now, if a woman divorces her husband and marry someone else, she commits adultery. So I'm just going by the scriptures, y'all. I know y'all don't like this. I don't like it. I would rather people who get divorced get somebody else. That's what I would like. But I can't teach that to people because the scriptures don't say that. Okay? And in a gynocentric society where pretty much a lot of people are mismatched or they've been made to marry people based off of just lies and deceptions. You know, and it leads people to make these bad decisions. And, you know, it should be a way for them to get remarried. But the scriptures don't account for that. It just says this is the way it is. And the reason why we talked about this is that this is God's institution. It's designed to be one way. If you break out of that, you know, if you break away from your, you know, your vows and say, I don't want to be with this person anymore. He don't like it. He hates divorce. But at the same time, you know, you're not going to hell for divorce. But remarriage is adultery, and then now you screw some things up. So, you know, if you continue in adulterous state, you will end up in the lake of fire for all eternity. And that's not a place you want to go. And this is what the scriptures say. Okay. Here's another passage. Luke chapter 16, verses 18. It says, for example, a man who divorces his wife and marries someone else commits adultery. And anyone who marries a woman divorced from her husband commits adultery. All right. So if there's a woman that has been divorced by her husband, she didn't want to break up the marriage. Maybe she was a believer. She didn't want to break up the marriage. She got dumped, discarded, unfortunately, treacherously is what the scriptures say. She cannot be remarried. This is what scriptures say. I want a place for women who are discarded, who are good women, to get remarried. I do. I feel you. I feel both sides, you know, but, you know, it's only allowed for the man because of who he is versus what the woman is. OK. And the scriptures don't allow for the woman to get remarried, but it does leave room for the man to get remarried. OK. So. You can't show me in scripture where it doesn't allow the man to get married. A lot of women are trying to say, well, the man can't get remarried either. No, That ain't what the Bible says. It said the woman can't. The only time a man can't get remarried is if he divorces his wife. If he's discarding women, he has no business getting another one. He can't do that. You don't get to have another wife and you dump the first one. So here's some of the conclusions here. What do we do here? Okay, number one, be the best spouse you can be to your unbelieving spouse. Be blameless so you might win them over to Christ. That's how you do it. You got to love them according to scripture. And that in itself could probably lead them to Christ. It doesn't mean that this is guaranteed, but it could. It could, okay? Number two, if your unbelieving spouse is peaceful and is willing to live with you, stay married to them. Okay, don't leave the house or don't divorce them or anything like that. You know, just stay together, because there's not like there's no lack of peace or anything. Y'all fine. If they are not peaceful and they want a divorce, let them go. Okay. Physical or mental abuse is unpeaceful. All right. Physical or mental abuse is a good cause for separation, but not divorce. Okay. It doesn't say anything about people getting, they're free to, you know, they're not bound to marriage anymore. No, it just says you can let them go. You don't have to be in the same house with them because of their lack of peace. All right. Infidelity or adultery isn't a cause for divorce. A lot of people want to break up for that. You can't break up for that. Okay. I get it though. If I'm a husband and my wife cheat on me, in other words, she commits adultery, the natural thing is to discard her and to get somebody else, right? And we see scripture where, you know, God was saying, look, you know, y'all doing this to me. Israel is pretty much cheating on me, but I'm taking you back. So you got to be like God if you're going to be a man of God, and that usually includes still dealing with a woman that has done that. Now, you have your choice, though. You can still get rid of her, but you can't get remarried. You know, so it's either put up with her, take her back, you know, forgive her if, you know, she's repentant, because there's rules for that. And or, you know, and there's a lot of solutions for men who have that problem. It doesn't mean you have to be just with her. You can have another wife and all this other stuff. But we'll talk about that. Continuing on, it says infidelity or adultery isn't a cause for divorce, but separation may be needed to heal. So fine, but y'all should separate. But come back together at some point. Continuing on, God hates divorce, but you're not going to hell for it if you decide to divorce. This is clear in scripture. Ain't nobody going to hell for divorcing nobody. It's the remarriage and the adultery that comes out of that is where people end up in the lake of fire for. So last resort, you're divorcing. But don't get remarried. If you divorce somebody, and what this means is, let me explain this to you. Whoever initiates the divorce cannot remarry without it being considered adultery. Wives cannot remarry even if they didn't initiate the divorce, else it's considered adultery. So men, if your wife initiates the divorce and she's like, I'm done with you, I don't want to be with you, sign these papers and get on about it. It's fine, sign the papers. She's made it clear she don't want to be with you. Now, the paperwork is just state work. It has nothing to do with God. So it's not like you are agreeing to a divorce, because that's not a divorce, really. It's paperwork for a divorce on state record. You're still bound to her. She's still bound to you. But she's free to leave and you're free to get remarried. You see what I'm saying? Let her go. You get that paperwork done. Let her go. And you're free to remarry. And she's probably going to remarry too. But it's adultery. She's committing adultery against you at that point. But you're not committing adultery if you get remarried. And the reason why is because she left you. You didn't leave her. Let me just reiterate this again. Whoever initiates divorce is the one who is divorcing. Signing divorce papers when you don't want a divorce is not your agreement to the divorce in God's eyes, only in the States. So ladies, I had a case where a lady told me that her husband led her to divorce him. He told her to file the paperwork. And so she did, but she don't want a divorce. He does. So who really initiated divorce? He did. Even though his paperwork states that she's filing, God knows. He's looking right at him and saying, you the one want the divorce, you know? So he's not getting away with remarrying and being free to remarry. He's actually committing adultery at this point, because he, the one that really, you know, wants to divorce, and he's, but he's, from a legal perspective, making her file. So, you know, and then once again, this legal paperwork is invalid. It doesn't matter. It's not valid in front of God. It's not. It's just paperwork. It means you're not going to be together in the state's eyes. But in God's eyes, it's something else. So that's what we respect. I respect what the Lord says. He says, once you make an agreement verbally with your wife, that's it. That's what you've made. And y'all consummated the marriage. You are now married. Whether or not you got a sheet of paper stating that. It's going on. It says, what if your unbelieving spouse wants to stay with you, but make your life a living hell? Okay, so that's the question that comes to mind. All right. Number one, you're still called to peace. You got to say to yourself, you're valuable and you're not made for abuse, right? So what you can do is withdraw and separate. That's what you do. They want to continue to latch on to you, but they keep treating you bad. Withdraw and separate. You're going to have to find a way of doing that. And there's another thing that some people try to do. Well, they say, well, you're not having sex with me. The Bible says that you're supposed to have sex with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 talks about, you know, not, you know, holding sex from your partner. Well, look, that's not going to happen when one spouse is abusing the other. It's just not going to happen. Okay. And so ladies, don't feel guilty. Men, don't feel guilty if they try to use that against you, because you're not going to hell for withholding sex from your partner or your spouse. You're not going to hell for that. Okay. And you're doing it for a reason. I'm being bullied. I'm being beat up. I'm being mistreated. I'm being abused. There is no peace in my house. How am I supposed to be sexually aroused by somebody who's abusing me? So don't let scriptures and people using scriptures out of context to try to draw you back into a relationship. You know, it's just, don't do that. So let me go on here. It says, the separation may cause the other spouse to file for divorce or rethink their behavior and change. So that's what you're doing. When you are in a marriage with a person that's insisting on being with you, and then they want to abuse you on top of that, by withdrawing and separating, you're saying, I'm worthy of respect and honor and dignity. I will not be mistreated. I will not be abused. I will not be psychologically abused, emotionally abused. I will not be physically abused. And you're showing them, like, I have value. You're not going to do me like this. And you're showing God, I have value. I respect the, you know, your body that you gave me, God. I'm not going to allow it to be pummeled. I'm not going to have my mind pummeled by emotional abuse from this person. I'm not doing it. And so that could do two things. Either they realize they can't do it to you anymore and they file for divorce and leave you, or they rethink their behavior and say, you know what, I really need to change because I'm gonna lose my marriage. You see? So either way, you can separate. The Bible is clear about this. You can separate from your spouse. Go ahead and do that if you don't have any peace with your unbelieving spouse, right? Now, here's another point here. Marriage contracts under the state were designed to support gynocentrism, and through divorce, destroy the husband, wife, and the children. So that's why I say, going forward, men, if you're going to about to get married, just make a contract with your wife. Just state what you're going to do under God and stick to that. Do not go down to the state and sign some paperwork. Okay, because now you got a third person in your marriage that ain't got no business being there. Okay. And then that can be used against you later on in life. If she decides to, you know, turn up, now you're being financially hurt. Now your children are being messed up. And then she, of course, is messing herself up unknowingly by causing that divorce, if she decides to divorce. Or if you decide to divorce, it doesn't matter. The bottom line is, these people are in your marriage and they ain't supposed to be. All right. Finally, just hold on to the power of God and consult him about every decision if you have an uncooperative and unpeaceful spouse. That's all I got for you today. I'll try to put all this in the show notes. I mean, in the sermon notes, and you can look it over. Feel free to email me regarding these discussions and topics. And until next time, walk in the Spirit and be blessed.